My name is Jesper Wolf. I'm originally from Denmark. I live in Canberra now, and I like all sorts of stuff. I don't have a certain genre, I think, that I like. But I have a fondness for what we're going to listen to a little bit later on, which is sort of 60s garage stuff. That's sort of it's a bit unhinged and an untamed sound that I sort of can relate to.
Welcome to Recollections. I'm Geordie Kilby.
And I'm David Kilby.
And with us we have Jesper Wolf, who is, as he mentioned, a collector of vinyl. And this is the next in our occasional series of collectors from around Australia, people who have interesting vinyl collections of all different styles and genres. And we've got some great garage, sort of, I guess, inspired rock happening over the next half hour or so. Where are we going to begin, Jesper? Where does it begin for you, in fact, record collecting?
It began very early on. I would have been about 16, and a friend of mine got a stereo from his parents, like a really super-duper stereo back then, and he got some records, and then I got donated a stereo when I was about 17, and back then it was tapes for me when I was sort of really young, and then I remember my mom bought me some records through a record club, and that's how it all started. I got the 3-for-2 deal to start off with.
And what were they?
Back then, I was into sort of, it was mainly UK synth stuff and sort of alternative stuff. I think it was Simple Minds' New Gold Dream and Depeche Mode, A Broken Frame, their second album, and I'm sure the third one would have been an early U2 album.
Still things you have in your collection or not?
Yeah, no, I still got those. Yeah, no, I still do bring them out once in a while.
And the stuff, obviously, we're playing in this program is all Australian. When did you begin to develop an interest in Australian sounds?
When I was in my mid-20s and I'd finished my apprenticeship, I had a very good friend who owned a record store, and I started working there after my regular work. I used to pick up records off the shelf and just look at them and go, oh, this looks interesting. And I just put the needle down and just listen to it. And some of them I'd play all the way through, and some of them I'd go, oh, no thanks, and I'll take them off. And all of a sudden, in the early 80s, we started seeing these Australian compilations. There was Raven and Ugly Things, yeah, and they turned up over the counter. And I used to see them quite a bit when I went to Sweden when we went to record fairs in Sweden. They turn up, and they were always cheap. And one time, I think I bought a handful of them. Out of a cheap bin. There was a whole series of them, and I bought them, and that's how it all started, because when I started out, I knew In Excess and Midnight Oil and a few other Australian bands who sort of made it on the world stage back in the 80s. And then all of a sudden, this new world was opened up to me with these fabulous compilations of all this Australian rare sort of garage stuff and also pop stuff.
And the first track that we're going to hear is one of those, a track that turned up on, or at least an artist that was on one of those compilations?
Yeah, his name is Tony Worsley, and he turned up. But this particular track, I think, I'm not sure whether this has been comped, I can't remember, but he had a few other tracks that appeared, and he was sort of, I think, a bit on the, he could be on the wilder side of, I think, Australian rock at that time. Eventually, I tracked one of his earlier albums down, and this is one of the tracks.
Okay, let's take a listen to it.
Babe, you always pass me by. Say you love me, but then again,
That's Tony Worsley and his track How Can It Be from one of three albums we think he put out in 1965. There were three there, all in fairly close succession, weren't there?
I'm pretty sure from memory that they all came out in 65.
We were talking before that track about your first record buying experiences, but at some point then, after you got onto the Australian stuff overseas, you moved to Australia.
My dad came to live here when I was very young, and I started coming out here in early to the mid-90s. And of course, you know, feet on the ground in Sydney, starting running around like a madman buying records. Then I came here for about 6 years on and off, and then I married my wife, who's Australian, and we came in 99. Then the records, you know, take over as they always do.
You already had a bit of an idea of some of the Australian things that you wanted to get your hands on.
I had a very specific list of what I wanted to track down. I used to run around Sydney and had friends in Brisbane and Melbourne and just, you know.
Yeah. So have you pretty much fulfilled that list now, or are you?
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty close to it with sort of the hardcore stuff on the collector scene. For albums, I must be pretty close. I do have a lot of 45s, but my 45s collection are nowhere near what the album collection is.
Do you remember what your top three on your list were?
I remember I wanted some Masters Apprentices first up, and I wanted Purple Hearts, but at that time I didn't realize they never did an album. And I think Tony Worsley as well was on my list, and I used to find these sort of pop singles that he did. He did sort of really good pop singles, but they were not the ones that I would after, but they would turn up all the time and, you know, pull my hair out every time I saw one and go, "Oh, not another one of these."
The next one that we're going to play, though, if it wasn't on your list to begin with, a record that's highly sought after around about the place, the Stephen the Board album.
There was a couple of tracks, I think Roslyn and I Call My Girlfriend Hinges, which was also an EP and a 45, and they did the Giggle That I Googled, as somebody will probably remember out there. And I only really knew those three tracks, and I had no idea what else they'd done. And then all of a sudden I realized, it was actually after quite a while, I realized that there was an album, because I saw it exchange hands at a record fair, and this was sort of pre-internet and access to you know, information at the drop of a hat, and all of a sudden this record appeared in front of me, and it disappeared straight away. It sort of came past me and disappeared into this bag, and I looked at it and went, "Oh, is that a reissue?" And he pulled it out and showed me, I can't remember his name, the guy who bought it, and, you know, my ears were ringing, my your ears go red and warm and get all fussy, and, you know. And you go, "Oh, I gotta have this record." And that's when I finally got that record. That's when I came across this track. And I think the next track we're gonna listen to is by Barry Gibb.
Yeah.
If we keep it in the Australian way, and of course he was, as everyone knows, a prolific songwriter and has been all his life.
Mm.
And this is just a nice little sort of ditty by him.
I mean, you could have played. I mean, it's got to be one of the all-time great titles, hasn't it? I Call My Baby Hinges,
yeah,
because
right.
She's Something to Adore. Is you can't beat that.
No, it is. It is a. It's a very,
it's a very bad pun.
Very striking title, and as David said, a very bad pun. But there's a couple of other tracks that I think is sort of above and beyond that, the more popular stuff.
Okay, let's take a listen to it now. This is Little Miss Rhythm and Blues.
Little Miss Rhythm and Blues. And I think the 45 was that came out was by Trevor Gordon on the Lead-On label.
Another version of that, yeah. But as you say, though, they were prolific, those Gibbs at that point in time. There was just about everybody was cutting one of their tunes, it seemed.
And not all of them successful, but they were so prolific and always melodic, weren't they? They had a great gift for melody.
This is Recollections, Geordie and David Kilby with you, but also Jesper Wolf, who's our collector, featured collector for this episode. And his sweet spot really is, I guess, well, so far it's been 1965, but we're going to get a little bit beyond that year range in the back end of this of the program. But I guess, I mean, how would you class this sort of stuff, Jesper? If you were walking into a record store, it'd be in the garage section or the sort of the 60s punk section, wouldn't it?
Yeah, these days it would be classified as garage or, as you say, 60s punk or alternative 60s or whatever they call it. Like, I think everything these days, there's a category for every single note these days.
But you can detect a difference, can't you, in the sound of between the sound of, say, Stephen the Board and Tony Worsley and this next one, The Missing Links.
Yeah, what struck me when I initially heard Tony Worsley and Steve and the Board is that, to me, it sounded, coming from you, it sounded distinctly different from the other 60s stuff that I knew, Stones, Pretty Things, that sort of rhythm and blues driven stuff, where a little bit later we're going to listen to Missing Links, where you can really hear the influence, or I can hear the influence of all this UK beat stuff and partly US stuff, but I think mainly English stuff that was, you can hear Animals in there and that whole beat scene, where these two first tracks that we played, to me they have a distinctive sound. There's another artist that was floating around at the same time called Tony Barber, and he has it's a very distinct, it's an Australian production sound, I think, that gives it this, I don't know what it is, but it's, to me, it's just a different sound. And that, I think that's also why I picked up on it, because it's very basic, and, you know, it doesn't sound like it's overproduced or anything like that, and it has this very specific sound.
When we move on to this next track, though, by The Missing Links, you say you hear sort of a lot more of that British influence along the lines of the Stones and the Pretty Things.
Yeah, when you listen to this album from start to finish, you can really hear the British influence, and of course it all stems back from American blues. But basically, you can hear that, you know, they've been influenced, I think, by especially the Stones and perhaps Pretty Things as well, and Animals, and to a certain degree maybe Yardbirds, who was a little bit sort of less straightforward maybe than some of the other, and Small Faces, of course.
Yeah, and certainly when you look at the image of the group on the record on the sleeve, there, you know, it could be the Stones or it could be the Pretty Things.
They all got the semi-long bowl cuts, and you know they got the hipster jeans on and the boots, and they're ready for success.
Let's take a listen to one of the tracks from this album. It's a pretty hard to get album, it's got to be said.
Yeah, I think this track is we picked You're Driving Me Insane.
Yes, and that is The Missing Links from their very rare and only album, and that was a track called You're Driving Me Insane.
Written by Hutch the drummer, but I love the album. I love any album, that has what the performers on the album used to like, you know, their favourite colour, their favourite food and things like that. Even better than that is when they have the fan club address and name of the person. So Diana Bronte was the fan club president of the Missing Links at that time. I wonder if Diane's still keen on the Missing Links.
We've got probably time for one more track in this session. Yes, but now this one is a little bit different to the rest of the ones that you've played for us before now.
Yeah, this band is called New Race. This is an album from, I think, the late 80s. And they were sort of like a follow-on from Radio Birdman. And it sort of leads back to where we started with the whole garage scene that sort of is also, it's called early punk these days. And when I listen to a track like this, I can hear remnants of Stephen the Board and Missing Links and Tony Worsley. And it sort of takes us up to a point where, you know, punk was well on its way. And up through the 70s, it was all, you know, prog stuff in the early 70s. And then we got into the disco era, and then punk took off, and then these guys spring out of the punk scene. But I can hear when I listen to my ears are telling me that I can hear, you know, where these guys came from when you sort of backtrack to this sort of guitar-driven stuff that that these guys, surely they must have listened to, you know, bands like Missing Links and perhaps that whole back catalogue of great Australian stuff. And this is a track that I, it's very loud and very sort of in your face, but this is a track that I put on when my wife and my kids are out and I crank it up to a point where my speakers gets a good workout.
So if you're in a position to do the same, where, you know, go for it, now's a good time perhaps to turn it up. We'll turn ourselves off and leave you with this track. Jesper, thanks for dropping in to share some of your collection with us.
That's not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Time for this episode of the Rare Collections podcast to go back into the sleeve. If you've enjoyed what you've heard and you want more information about this or any of our recent shows, you can get in touch via our Facebook page. Just search for Vinyl Rare Collections. Also hit us up there too if you've got a record that you think we should take a look at in a future episode. And please consider writing a review for us on iTunes as well. We'd really love more folks to find out about the show, and just a few words from you could make a big difference. We'll be back in a fortnight's time with more. Until then, enjoy your music, and if you're out digging for vinyl, may luck be on your side. Something